بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, previously we had completed the ninth juz and we had been discussing with regard to jihad some of the wisdoms and objectives of jihad. And now in the opening verse of the tenth juz, which we are continuing with Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now discusses a very important mas'ala pertaining to jihad as well. And this is with regard to the distribution of the spoils of war. When the Muslim army conquers a certain land, is victorious, and there are now spoils of war that have come in, then how are these spoils of war distributed? Who are the recipients of it? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about one particular category. And it is important to understand that there are two categories when it comes to the spoils of war. One is what we call ghanima, which is discussed in this verse. Ghanima quite simply refers to when the Muslim army, when there is a clash and we are victorious, we win the battle and we then secure some spoils of war. This is called ghanima. And the ruling will be mentioned that one-fifth of that is then taken out and given to the Baytul Mal, the national treasury. And they are specific recipients who will take from this one-fifth thereafter. And the remaining four-fifths will then be distributed amongst the mujahideen, those who actively took part in that particular battle or that particular clash. So this is the first category. The second category of spoils of war is what is known as fay. And this is discussed in detail in the 28th juz, Surah Al-Hashr. Allah speaks about fay, and that quite simply refers to when there is no clash, there is no actual fighting that takes place, but rather the enemy surrenders and we are victorious in this way. So those spoils of war, the entire amount will go to the Baytul Mal, to the national treasury, and the mujahideen will not take a specific portion for themselves. So nevertheless, here Allah speaks about the first category, ghanima. When we are victorious, we defeat the enemy, and we now have these spoils of war, what should happen to it? So Allah says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَ. That know, understand, that whatever spoils of war you have taken, then one-fifth should be set aside for who? فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ. For Allah, وَلِلْرَسُولِ, for the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى, for the relatives of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلِيَتَامَى, the orphans, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, the poor people, وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, and the wayfarer, the traveler. So here we find six categories mentioned. فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ, for Allah. Allah's name is mentioned here, تَبَرُّكًا, because Allah is the one who granted you victory. Of course, Allah is not going to be a recipient. So that leaves just five categories. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his relatives. The first two categories are no longer applicable, of course, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the remaining three categories, الْيَتَامَى, the orphans, الْمَسَاكِينَ, the poor people, and Ibnu Sabil, the wayfarer, the traveler, these three categories remain applicable till today. And whatever spoils of war come in, this will go to the national treasury, and it will then be distributed amongst these three categories, these three groups of recipients. And then Allah says, إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ. That these guidelines with regard to the distribution, this is if you have iman, if you have belief in Allah and in that which we have revealed to our servant, to our slave. In other words, the Quran. يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ, on the day of criterion. And this refers to the day of Badr, which was Furqan, which was a distinguishing moment between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood. يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ, on the day that the two armies met. So what is meant by this? That these guidelines are only if you believe in Allah and you believe in the Quran that we revealed on the day of Badr. Meaning these ayat that were revealed, if you have iman in this, then you will abide by these guidelines. Why is Allah referencing the Battle of Badr? This was the first so-called military campaign, the first victory of Islam. And this was a time where Allah's assistance had come very strongly to the Sahaba, to the Muslim army. So Allah is referencing this particular battle so that the Sahaba understand that our victory was only because of the assistance of Allah. Therefore, they will not feel it difficult to take out this one-fifth and give it away. They are remaining with four-fifths, but they will not find it difficult that this one-fifth will not be given to us, and it will now go to the needy ones from the entire ummah. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir, and Allah has power over everything. So here we find very important that Sharia governs not just our ibadat, not just our acts of worship, not just our business dealings, but right down till the last aspect of our lives, or every aspect of our lives, here with regard to the spoils of war, distribution of the spoils of war, all of these things are governed in Sharia, because Allah knows what is best for us. Allah knows what will contribute to a healthy and a thriving society, and therefore Allah gives us guidelines in all of these areas in our lives. إِذْ أَنْتُمْ بِالْعُدْوَةِ الدُّنْيَا. Now Allah speaks about the Battle of Badr, and this continues for approximately one page. We'll just read the first verse. إِذْ أَنْتُمْ بِالْعُدْوَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ بِالْعُدْوَةِ الْقُصْوَى. Allah introduces the Battle of Badr. So Allah says, remember when you, O Sahaba, O Muslims, were at the nearest part of the valley. And what this refers to, we know that Badr is to the west of Medina Munawwara. If we look at the map, Medina Munawwara is northeast, and we find southwest is Badr, and further southwest is then Makkah Mukarramah. So Allah says that you were on the nearer part of the valley, in other words, the eastern side of the valley, which is closer to Medina Munawwara. وَهُمْ بِالْعُدْوَةِ الْقُصْوَى. And the Makkan army, the Qurashi army, they were at the further end of the valley. In other words, the western side, closer to Makkah Mukarramah. وَالرَّكْبُ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. And the trade caravan was further below you, beneath you. And we know that in the lead up to the Battle of Badr, initially the Muslim army had gone to intercept the trade caravan of Abu Sufyan. At that time he was not yet a Muslim. This trade caravan was coming from the north, from Sham, and it was coming back to Makkah Mukarramah, and therefore it would have to pass by Medina Munawwara. So they intended to intercept the trade caravan, but by the time they reached Badr, this caravan had now already gone ahead and gone further south and was on its way to Makkah Mukarramah. So they did not manage to intercept this caravan. So this is what is spoken about. The وَالرَّكْبُ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. This caravan was further south, was below you. So this meeting took place between the Muslim army and the Qurashi army who had come from Makkah. And this was an unplanned meeting, an impromptu meeting. Initially it was to intercept the caravan. They did not anticipate fighting. So Allah says, وَلَوْ تَوَاعَدْتُمْ. That had you made an agreement to meet, in other words, had it been a planned battle, لَخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ. Then you would have failed to keep the appointment. In other words, you possibly would have backed away, or the Qurashi army would have backed down. Seeing as this was the first battle, the first time meeting in war, and therefore there was apprehension on both sides. So had it been a planned meeting, then you would have failed to keep the appointment. Walakin, however, Allah caused it to happen like this, impromptu. لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. Because Allah wanted to conclude a matter that had already been predestined, and that was the defeat of the Makkan army and the victory of the Sahaba. So Allah wanted this to happen. He wanted you to meet. Therefore, He did not do it based on any appointment. He caused it to just happen so that nobody could back down. لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. So that those who would be defeated would be defeated after a proof had been established against them. And those who would remain alive, in other words, with Iman, with Islam, would remain living after having proof in front of them as well. This battle now became a clear sign that Islam was haqq, was true, and kufr and shirk was batil, was falsehood. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَسَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And indeed Allah is all-hearing, all-knowledgeable. So this is the introduction to the Battle of Badr. And moving on, we'll continue tomorrow, inshallah. Allah then mentions a few more details regarding this particular battle. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.